Blog Talk Radio.
Perfectly.
Okay. Am I muted?
I'm not gonna. Hey, yes.
No, you're unmuted. Michelle and Tana and Carol and Keith, welcome. Yeah. Michelle's going to share first because she had an amazing thing happen. I'm not going to talk, so you guys have to run the show for me because my throat started swelling up, and I don't know what's going on. I the chemtrails, and I've been hiking a lot, and so I'm just going to, like, it's, like, all swollen. Ouch, it hurts. So I'm just going to be here with you guys. Let me know when you want me to put a song on. And Michelle, thanks for texting me earlier today. Michelle had an amazing thing happen. Everybody's unmuted, and if you guys can just help me out, I'm going to really not talk. My throat is killing me. So, all right. Welcome, everybody. I love you. Welcome, everybody in the
love
chat
you too.
Room. Thank you.
Love you too.
I love you.
Hope you get better.
Nick. Thanks. Yeah, it's weird. Deborah and Nick and Raina and Michelle and Rojo and Roman and Tana, and thank you for being here in the chat room and also on the phone, Tana and Michelle. Love you guys. All right, so take it away, Michelle. Tell us what happened.
Yes, Michelle,
okay.
We're anxious.
All right. Well, basically, this afternoon, I laid down to, I just sat down on my couch. I was going to read through a devotional book, and I just started reading through the first couple sentences, and then I just felt really sleepy. So I was like, well, I can't stay awake, so I might as well put down the book and take a little nap. So I just laid down on my couch. I kind of had my feet toward the end, and then put a blanket over myself, and then I went to sleep. Well, I'm not sure exactly how long I was asleep before it happened, but sometime during my sleep, I all of a sudden started feeling someone playing with my foot. It was kind of weird. It was like they were gently pushing down on my toes, and then they would kind of flex them up, and then they would move my foot sideways back and forth, and then eventually I felt my foot being lifted up, like both my feet being lifted up. And then at first I didn't think anything of it, but then it was kind of weird. I was like, okay, someone's playing with my feet. I should probably be concerned. So I was like, okay, I need to open my eyes. But then I realized, oh, I can't open my eyes, so I must be asleep. But it was weird because it was felt so real. It didn't feel like I was asleep at all because in this experience slash dream, I was in the same position I was actually in real life, and I felt someone playing with my feet. And so, I started to get kind of concerned, and then all of a sudden I was like, okay, Lord, is this you? And then I asked that in my head, and I heard in my head, yes. So I was like, okay, since it's you, then carry on. And so then after that, I felt myself go back into a deep sleep. Like I could literally feel it come up upon me. And then, but it's like I was conscious at the same time. And then he started playing with my feet again. And then started moving down toward my ankles. And then it was weird because as soon as he moved down toward my ankles, I started feeling ticklish. And so then I kind of reached my hand toward my ankle. And then I felt a hand. I actually felt a hand. And so I started feeling the hand. And then I started intertwining my fingers with the fingers of the hand. And then as soon as I did that, it's like I felt complete ecstasy. It was like complete joy that it's almost like the feeling like you get when you first hold hands with your crush for the first time. It's like I felt like that. And I felt that for about 2 seconds, and then I woke up. And then I was like, whoa. And so then I asked the Lord, I was like, that was you, right? And he said, yeah. And so it was so weird, though, because it didn't feel like a dream at all. It felt like it was really happening. So it was weird, but it was really awesome.
Wow. Anybody else reacting? That is... That is awesome. When you were sharing, I just envisioned the Lord, the Lord's presence all over you, Michelle. I felt Him on me while you were sharing. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Sorry,
because I'm having problems with my computer, with my internet. It's been on the funk, so that's why I'm not on chat, because it won't connect, and so I said, well, I'm not going to miss the show because I can't connect. So I decided to call, and on a follow up. I had an amazing experience today as well with the Lord. I had a sign. The Lord gave me a sign today. I never get signs regarding the time frame that we're living in. I rarely ever get any kind of a revelation or a confirmation that Jesus is really returning, other than that one dream that I had last summer, where the Lord wanted me to become rapture centric all over again, okay? Because I had given up on being rapture centric for about 6 months, and then the Lord said, okay, you got to get back on the horse, because you are chosen for such a time as this. So let me tell you guys what happened today. But in doing so, I have to backtrack a little bit and give you remind you of the favor of God that has been on my heart for a couple of weeks now, right? You know how I've been encouraging everybody to just speak with a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving and faith, that while we are still here, we have the favor of God in our lives. Whatever we're doing, with people, on our financially, emotionally, with our families, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our physical bodies. And I will tell you this, that has nothing to do with the revelation, but I will tell you that since I've been speaking strongly the favor of God over me, I have felt so much stronger physically, which is a real, real blessing for me. I'll just leave it at that. Just know that I just feel, wow, I feel incredibly, incredibly great. I'm not out of the woodworks, but I feel, I feel like 98% better than I've felt in 13 years. So that's a real blessing. So going back to the revelation today, and the favor of God. Remember, I think I shared with you guys. I'm pretty sure. I know I did. I told you guys that I have some financial debt. It doesn't bother me. I'm okay. I just have to pay it. But I'm just paying it a little bit at a time, and that's fine. But when the Holy Spirit inspired me to start speaking the favor of God, I wrote down on an index card an affirmation. And that affirmation was that I said, today I welcome and receive $32,000 in cash, tax-free, with a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. That was about 2.5 weeks ago. And by the way, no, it hasn't. I have not received my financial blessing yet, just to get that out of the way. But anyway, I've been speaking my financial blessing over me as well. Well, but the thing was, the next day when I started speaking that affirmation, I clearly heard the Holy Spirit tell me to change it to $42,000. And I said, well, okay, amen. I ain't going to argue, right? So I did. So I've been speaking and believing for $42,000. Now, again, I have not received it, and that's fine. But here's the revelation. This is what's so incredible, that there's a reason the Holy Spirit had me change it from 32 to 42. And it has nothing to do with the finances. It has to do with the Lord's return. So today, I happened to find a YouTube video that Redix made. I think she made it either today or yesterday. And it was on the final 7-year tribulation, that we're really close. So as I listened to her share her thoughts, it reminded me of a poster who had the very same intuition or thoughts that Redix had. And he posted his thoughts on he used to post on a forum called The Five Doves. I don't know if anybody, I know Bill has been on that forum before, but I used to frequent it all the time, except now it's dwindling off. And well, with you guys, I don't really visit a whole bunch of other forums anymore. However, it reminded me of what that poster had written. So I looked him up, and he had this big explanation going back to 2008, and which is what Redix was sharing on. And while I'm reading it, he refers to another poster that had written a composition of his thoughts regarding the Lord's return, and his subject title was, "When will the Lord return?" And the answer was not what we think. It came in the form of a number, and the number was 42. And then he explains why he came to that conclusion. But you know, my computers, I don't know what, I don't think it's my computer. I think it's the internet provider that's on the blink right now. So I can't pull it up. But when I saw that the answer to the Lord's return is the number 42, I froze because the reason the Holy Spirit had me change my quote unquote financial blessing from 32 to 42 had nothing to do with the financial blessing per se. I mean, I still welcome it and receive it, no doubt. But it had to do with the Lord's return. And I just jumped for joy. The only thing is, I don't know that it's, you know, I haven't been given a jackass date that it's today or tomorrow or the 14th or the 15th or whatever. You know, but I just know that the Holy Spirit was confirming to me that Jesus is coming real soon, whatever that means, like right now, today, tomorrow. It was just a confirmation that, you know, he is paying attention to us and our heart's desire. And Psalm 37:4 says, if you delight in him, he'll grant you the desires of your heart. And what is our desires? What is the desires of our heart? Isn't it to be translated? Isn't it for us to go up in the clouds of glory all together to meet Jesus in the air right now? You know, that is what is so exciting. And I think it just went, it was, you know, even though it was a different experience from yours, Michelle, I think it just fell right on the heels, because what you experienced was the presence of God. And when we are translated, we are going to know, because the presence of God is going to permeate and saturate us to pull us up to meet him in the air. And that number that the Holy Spirit gave me 2.5 weeks ago, you know, even though, as I said, if right now somebody came to the door and said, I don't know why, but here is $42,000 in cash, tax-free for you from God. So long, goodbye, thank you very much. I will welcome it. But I don't really think that's what the Lord had me speak it. I think the $42,000 has to do with the Lord's return for us. And I just wanted to get everybody excited, and I hope everybody is. So your thoughts are welcome.
That's awesome, Carol. Roman in the chat room is saying 42 months is 3.5 years, and that is how long the Great Trib is. So that's his interpretation.
Wow,
of
Roberta,
what 42
there you
means.
Go. It's about to start. We're about to leave. We're about to leave, and see that fellow Ron Reese has shared. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Has been sharing along with every has been sharing, and it's something I believe too, and I think all of us do. The moment we're translated, you know, sudden destruction comes. The Great Trib comes, and you know, the economy collapses. You know, the earthquakes truly magnify the whole earth. You know, they just jump all over the place, and people go, you know, the judgment on this world begins when we're out. And that's what the 42 is. Wow. I love you, Roman, my delicious red caviar enchilada. I had to say that. I had to say that to Roman. Yes, Roman, you're my delicious red caviar enchilada. I don't even know if he knows what an enchilada is, but half the stuff he writes, nobody knows what it means. It's all goofy. With love. So anyway, what a great way to start the show, getting everybody pumped up for the translation, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, Judy, I hope you quickly get well, and give your voice a rest, but not your spirit.
Thank you, Carol. Yeah, I think it's from hiking and all these chemtrails. And I'm just resting right now.
Yeah, cool. Oh, and I just wanted to give you a quick little update on Mama Kitty that I have, Mumsy. You know, she ate a little bit more last night, which was good, because she just sleeps and wants to be cuddled with me, and maybe that's her personality. But I went out and bought some kitten food because it's got more protein and you know, just it's more smelly. she ate pretty good today. So I'm thankful that I was a little concerned because the mama kitty has not been eating as much since Tigger went to heaven, and that's been a little concern for me. But she acts fine, except that she's to me awfully thin. But she ate well today, and that's good. So anyway, carry on with any more revelations or insights or a word, a scripture from the Lord. See what he has to say. What he has to say to us. Anybody?
Who's online? Is Pat? Are you there? Or I think Pat's gonna be late today. Who else is on the air today?
Michelle is here.
Michelle, Carol, me. Is Tana on the air? No.
She's probably working.
Okay. That was great. That was great, Carol. Thanks for sharing that. It was really, really good. It was great. Thanks for sharing, Michelle. That was really interesting, too. Michelle, have you been having a lot of dreams like that recently, or is this just a one-time thing?
No, I've never had a dream where I've actually felt the Lord touch me.
Cool. I mean, it's just, you know, you're probably just not used to that supernatural. It was good that you were kind of discerning about that, you know, and then you were able to relax. But the more you allow God to do supernatural things, the more, I mean, Judy's bed shakes and all kinds of supernatural things, you know. It's like if you're comfortable with God doing supernatural stuff, then he will do that, you know. You should ask for more supernatural signs. I think it's exciting and interesting, you know. That's great that you, what about any other dreams, Michelle, you've been having, just regular dreams? About rapture or anything like that?
Let's see. I think about a week ago I had a dream, a mini rapture dream where I remember just standing around waiting for the rapture, and then all of a sudden I started going up, and then I just remember waving at the people saying, bye.
That's funny. Wow. And did you get any kind of timing on that, or?
No. I wish I remembered more of that dream.
And, Carol, what about you? Any dreams that you had recently about any rapture or any end-time events?
Well, no, but I sure had a... I don't know if it's related to the rapture, but I did have a very unusual dream last night. I dreamt that that I heard a noise in my garage, and I got up. You know, in my dream, I got up to go see what was going on, and my car was missing. And my garage door was partly open, and I turned around and I just started asking the Lord, Lord Jesus, what is it? What is happening? What is happening, Lord Jesus? What is happening? What is happening? Something. This isn't supposed to be happening. What is happening? And you know, I didn't feel like my car was stolen, although logically that's what one would assume, but my car was missing, my vehicle was missing, and if I want to really analyze it, aren't we like vessels, like vehicles for the Lord, and maybe it was a sign that we are getting ready to depart and disappear, and the Lord showed me my car disappeared, but I spend so much time in the car. I drive all the time. That's where I spend my time praying. I pray a lot in the car, and so maybe that was another you know, word or revelation from the Lord telling us we're about to leave. I mean, for me to have that
wow.
dream, and then for Michelle to be asleep and be filled with the presence of God where he's touching her, And then for me to get that revelation from the Holy Spirit on the meaning of 42, it's all tying together. I mean, I think, and you know, Kishan, my Kishai Pai, he's a young little guy, but boy, is he filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus in him, and he just has so much insight. And what he was telling us last night, the way he explained how we're going to be out by tomorrow, the third, you know, I tell you what, I am going to be surprised if we're out today or tomorrow, because of what is just starting to transpire. The ball's rolling, and rolling quick. And I don't know if anybody else has gotten any other insights, but I'm really pumped. So, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Hi, guys. I'm back. My phone disconnected. Hi.
Oh. Hey, it's Tana.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, honey. Hi. Love you.
I love you too, Keithy.
Share with us.
I love you, Michelle, and Carol and Judy. Huh? Share with
Carol
you.
Carol was just sharing, Tana. Carol was sharing how she's got the $42,000 that she's going to buy the RV that Judy's going to drive and drive across the country to get all of us. And I think that
wow,
it's just a wonderful thing.
Exactly.
Thank you, Carol,
exactly.
For doing that. Thank
that,
you.
Amen. That RV, that bus that Carol's buying, thank you, Carol, is going straight up to heaven. We're all loading and we're going
yeah.
up to heaven.
But in the meantime, Carol's putting money
everybody.
Down this weekend on it. We're getting it this weekend. Thank you, Carol.
We're getting
Amen.
It.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah,
thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. And we're going to paint Jesus on the side of it. We're going to play, you know, Spirit in the Sky and wear our hippie outfits. And, you
and
know, Tana and Christine are driving, you know. Michelle will hang out with us in the back. We'll have a good old time. And, yeah, Carol, you get it this weekend, honey. We need that thing quick. We're going to get started
Amen.
On those trips.
You heard them, Holy Spirit. You're hearing this, Holy Spirit. You know, you're making it happen this weekend. You know, the $42,000 ain't for my bills, it's for the RV, and we're out of here.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Tana, share with us something. Tana, you there? What happened to Tana?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Share with us. Speak, girl.
I'm shouting out to everybody listening. I'm shouting out to chat. I'm shouting out to my chat buddy, Jason. Yo, yo, what up, dude? he's my extreme late night chat buddy, sorry. Oh, and chat last night. Sorry, RCC, we now have RC Club. Last night it was pretty cool. We had a dance party. It was extreme late night chat dance party.
Oh, wow. Who was there?
It was me, Judy, Jason, Gemma, it was Joe, and Jerry, and Lala, and we just took turns putting music on, and we were all dancing at home, or first our icons were dancing. And
How
then
late
we
was it?
Huh?
How late?
Oh, it was like starting at maybe 10:30, and then... I went to bed at like 1:30, so it's between that time. But anyway, so, you know, we put dancing.
That's early for
like,
you because you're normally getting in bed about
I know,
3 in the morning.
I know, but I had to work all day today, so I still have to go back to work. But Michelle was there for a bit too. Yes, Michelle was there at the dance party, but she missed the actual dancing. So, like, we put moves in, like, you know, Judy and Tana, do-si-do, and then, you know, Jason swings Tom around and Joe swings Judy around, and so we're dancing and chat. But then Judy and I made dance videos.
Cool.
Dance videos. So my videos are up on my channel briefly. we were just dancing by ourselves, two songs. I was slow dancing with the Wapture Wabbit. So I have a video of me slow dancing with the Wapture Wabbit. I can't even say that because pretty.
Where's your videos? Judy uploaded them?
Yeah, they're on my they're on my channel. And Judy has some too.
I didn't know you had a channel. When did you get a channel?
It's the ones with the kids. When I read the kids' stories, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, they're there. So anyway, so mine are still there, but they're not going to be there for long because I'm deleting them. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. So Judy made video. She was dancing with Bubs. And by herself, and I was dancing by myself, and dancing with Webster Rabbit. And then I did a little tribute video to the musicians at RCC. I did a little air guitar and a little air drumming.
Nice.
And one of my videos.
Did Luca there? Luca on,
nope.
On the.
Nope.
Okay.
I did send him the videos, though, and I have no idea, you know, he probably thinks I'm bonkers, but of course the whole RCC is, so it's like no big deal. anyway, it was so fun though. I want to make more videos. I'm like, I want to make more videos. So who knows? Maybe
fun.
I'll make more videos. Yeah. So it was fun. It was just, we were just all crazy. It was so funny.
Maybe that's why Judy's voice got kind of like,
you know,
that.
Yeah,
just
she
because
was,
she was up
she
late
was,
dancing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she was partying pretty hard last night. I have to say, dancing and all. Mm-hmm. Right, Judy?
When when you party, you get sick sometimes. Well, that's why she was up partying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was Club RCC last night.
Cool.
Yeah, that's all I have to share. It was
she blamed
so
on the chemtrails when it really she was up all night partying with RCC. Darn chemtrail stuff.
Yeah, so sorry.
And now we know the truth.
Exactly, yeah. Carol, we know the truth.
You know, for the most part, what happens in chat stays in chat, but, you know, we all are our family, so we can share.
Michelle,
did
you have fun? Michelle on the line? Michelle, did you have fun on the chat?
I did, yeah. But then apparently I left before they started making the dance video, so I missed that.
Oh, Gemma made a cool ukulele video where she's singing Black Velvet. She didn't want to do a dance video, but she did a cool ukulele video, and she's singing Black Velvet, and I don't know if she still has that up, but we got to see that as well. So if you were in chat last night, you got to see a lot more videos than the three that are on my thing. But
what did you do? So you make videos and you post them in the chat room and they can click on and watch them?
No. They're on my channel. I could put the
okay.
I could put the links in there. But I made videos on my computer and then I posted them to YouTube. And then same with Judy and Gemma. Yeah.
Cool.
It was fun. There's a new, there's a new dance party. You know, we've done silly stuff like similar, but we've never actually made videos. Judy and I have never made videos of dancing. Oh, Raina just posted me dancing. Thanks, Raina. Oh, my goodness. But anyway.
I'm going to cover some news right now, and then we'll go back
go
to chatting. Is that all right?
Yeah. I don't have any.
Yeah.
Is that okay, Carol?
Go for it.
Yes.
I'm so excited, Carol. You don't need to pay your bills, that $42,000. That don't mean nothing. We're going to get that RV.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not paying those bills. I'm getting that RV for us, and we're taking off.
I'm going in the rapture and send it back to them, okay, and then get them.
Exactly. Yeah, see, that's what it is. I'm going to go pick up Blah and Jason. I think they both live in Houston, and then we're going to go up to Midland and pick up Michelle. Michelle, you live in Midland, right?
Yes.
Atlanta, and then Christine in Atlanta.
You know, and then somebody else, I think
Joe's in
Lawrence,
New York.
I think lives in Mississippi.
Oh,
I think somebody lives. But we got to go west. That's going east. So we'll pick those guys up. And then head
get
west.
Get Joe, right?
And pick everybody up on the East Coast, at the West Coast.
Joe in New York, and then I told Roman today to take a boat from England, get in a boat somewhere, and get in that water and get going. We'll pick him up on the coast by the time he'll get there. Pick him up, because he's trying to figure out how to get to America. I said take a boat, so you can pick him up and pick Joe up.
Yep.
And
swing back
around and head towards the West Coast.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds excellent. And by the time we pick everybody up, the will be translated and
I'll be in Vegas, so you can pick me up, and then we can all go gamble and party, and then we'll go pick up Tana on the West Coast, and then Judy will be at Legoland. We can stop by Legoland and get them and Little John.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're gonna, and you know what? That's gonna be a humongous RV, and it's
gonna be.
And the gas tank is going to be full at all times, so we never have to stop and fill up because the Holy Spirit is going to make sure the gas is filled up, the oil is full.
Amen.
You know, there'll be plenty of walking room, and there will even be a section for our pets. So
wow.
Even our pets are going to come along. Beyond on the RV train. It's going to be a huge.
Yeah.
It may even be a double decker for us.
Well, with
$42,000
plus the other money you got, that's enough. I've been looking into RVs for a while now. That's enough to get a good RV. You know.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, even more so, thank you, Jesus, for coming to translate us today. It's Happy Translation Day, and that RV that everyone in your minds, get on that RV right now because we're going up to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Okay, so I'm just covering the news real quick. This says in Italy, now a mosque, basically a Muslim mosque urges destruction. Oh, okay, this religious thing urges destruction of Israel in Italy, this guy did. Okay, call for Israel's destruction while on a visit to Italy. Okay, so this guy called last week for the destruction of Israel while he was in Italy. So what else is new with that? They're always against Israel. War, many dead in Ukraine offensive. Many pro-Russian rebels have been killed, injured, and arrested in the Ukrainian government offensive. Okay. Israel population grows to around 8.2 million. Interesting. But if you look at mostly Jewish population, it's closer to about 7 million because some Palestinians live there as well. As the Jewish state is prepared to mark the 66th anniversary of its founding, that's it. So that's interesting to me. Israel's, you know, celebrating their birthday. I mean, we're already in a red blood moon, you know, so this is something prophetic here. You know, we all know that it talks about a certain amount of years of a Jewish being a state before all this stuff happens. I think it was 70 or something. But so we know that, you know, just them having a birthday soon is prophetic. Okay. Preparing America for the wrath of God, some book about that. Well, you can't prepare for the wrath. The Lord always tells me there's nowhere you can run from it. You will not be able to run from my wrath, the Lord says. Afghan officials say 2,000 missing after a landslide. Handing over David's tomb rewrites history in Israel. It's interesting. This minister, whatever, sent an urgent letter to the Prime Minister Netanyahu Wednesday demanding that he prevent the rumored transfer of David's tomb to Catholic. Oh, yeah, to the Catholics. Israel has given over all kinds of things to Catholics. And they're giving even the room where Jesus had the Last Supper, they're going to, believe it or not, they're giving that room to the Vatican. Horrible. You know, that they're the false prophet. The false prophet is the Vatican, the current pope. So we know what Jesus thinks of the Catholic empire there. He calls it the false prophet. And they will lead, you know, Catholics have about over 1 billion of the world's population around the world. I think it's one-third, more than that, believe in Catholicism. So that they're going to unite all the religions together under that Roman empire again, just like it was in Jesus' times to rule. But Israel is just giving away all kinds of stuff because, again, they believe in the Antichrist and the false prophet for peace, so they're going to learn from that one. Lord, please help Israel. Bring them back into alignment with you. Okay, let's see. A teenager was involved with the Waseca math school massacre. Sign of the times. here's a summer reparation by Mark Castro, Chris Hill, Perry Stone, Brian Waddell. I find it very interesting that so many of the church, these churches, it's like clockwork. They get their, you know, this person together who has a ministry and he becomes popular. They travel around together. They charge $80 to $100 for the meeting. Talk about, and all they talk about every time is the same thing, revival.
Uh-huh.
It's a false sales is what it is, because the Bible is clear there's going to be no revival until the tribulation, the 144,000. I know we want a revival, but it's just not reality. It's going to happen in the tribulation. So I just find that the church preaches that all the time to get everybody to buy all their products and books, and it's a big hype thing going on, always doing that. Twin bomb attacks claim 18 lives near Syria's Hama. Oh, that's not good. Would Jesus' apostles even recognize the modern American church? Oh, no. The modern American church is watered down. Problem with the church, from what I've seen and what the Lord has told me so many times, is basically what happens is, you know, you get a church, and they've got to make money to stay in business, you know, just like any business, you know, I got to pay people, whatever. But the problem is then they start catering to the people they're getting tithes from. So the people in the big mega churches, especially today, they don't want to hear anything about conviction or obedience or repentance, or, and they don't want to hear any of that stuff. So they want to feel good. So they get these watered-down pastors to preach them what they want to hear, and then in turn they tithe more, and then in turn church makes a lot more money, comes up with more projects, builds bigger buildings, and it's just like this catch-22 where they're catering to the people rather than the Bible. And that's the difference. And then they become way watered down. But everybody feels good and everybody's making money. That's the kind of church that Jesus does not want. Jesus wants us reading. If you look at all the preachers from the past, I listened to Ken Hagin, John Lake, and all these great, you know, powerful healers, the Osbournes, and there's been some powerful, powerful healers and preachers from the past. These are all healers that I listened to. And Smith Wigglesworth, you know, these people were just, I mean, these guys were men of God, and you read their devotionals daily, and you can just feel the power of God coming out the pages. It's so incredible. And the love of God and miracles and power. But today's church, it's all about, they'll talk about relationships with your spouse or someone you like, and it's just the watered-down stuff. Helicopters buzz Kentucky residents. This is just not good. Black ops helicopters with their loud lights turned on buzzed Kentucky and Cincinnati residents last night as part of an unannounced military drill. Why would you do that? Just goes to show you. I mean, and in fact, a lot of Obama has fired. Obama has taken a lot of the main people in our military, the men, gotten rid of them. He's putting people on the front lines that are not equipped, and he's fired thousands of generals. Because any of them that say that they're not willing to kill an American citizen, he fires them. He wants them to be all willing to. And that's what he tells them, they have to be willing to kill an American. He's setting up for martial law, let me tell you. Here we go, 82nd Airborne Division Brigade Commander relieved as purging continues. Obama fired him. He's basically just completely devastating our military, so be weak. You know, he wants to destroy it. But he'll be destroyed in the end as well. Franklin Graham, the flood of compromise. Noah, the latest Hollywood epic movie, splashed across the big screen, that's revealing a flood of compromise, okay? So there's going to be more of Hollywood coming up with these movies that are supposedly inspired by the Bible. The court rules in favor of an evangelist charged with trespassing on public sidewalk. That's good. I think, yeah, ruled in favor, okay, of the evangelist. Liberals' clerks claim North Carolina same-sex marriage ban violates free exercise of religion. Okay, there's the federal government again once trying to step in and allow gay marriage everywhere. Martin Armstrong asks, we are headed into global fascism. Fascism has been a term applied to the manner of organizing a society in which a government ruled by a dictator. Yeah, the one world system, baby. Okay. FBI was involved with the Sandy Hook problem. They're blacking out a lot, hiding a lot of the stuff there. Newly arrived virus spread by mosquitoes is rapidly gaining foothold across the Caribbean. U.S. may restore electric chair, gas chambers, and firing squads in place of lethal injection. Saudi Arabia has 26 more cases of the MERS infection. It's a respiratory infection. Scientists are vexed in probe of North American starfish deaths. Anytime you see, there's a top guy who's he tracks all earthquake stuff. And you know what? He don't even look at the earthquakes. You know what he looks at? He looks at the animals that are dying and washed up in the shores. Those, when there's big animal death, like before Japan, earthquake, that is always a sign of an earthquake. And in the last 3 years, we've had major animal death from literally every major city in the world has washed up on their shores, including L.A. So if that's not a sign, and that guy says, watch the fish and all that stuff dying, and then you'll see the earthquake. So this indicates a worldwide problem. Harbinger rabbi warns America of impending judgment. Warning of impending judgment. The rabbi told the story of how 3,000 years ago, King Solomon stood in another sacred assembly in the nation's capital. Then he dedicated temple. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, basically saying America, harbingers are warning signs, and he says the 9/11 and a bunch of these are warning signs. Saudi Arabia showcases new missiles, new nuclear missiles, to basically show Iran they're going to nuke them if they screw up. Okay. The Man of Lawlessness, an End Times thriller, and 5.9, I don't know what other, let me see what earthquakes we had today. That's most news. Let's look at the earthquakes. We've got, take a second here for it to load. So you can see, I mean, they're just crazy. Okay, earthquakes here. We've got 5.2 in Mexico, 4.7 in the, okay, here we go, 6.1 Indonesia. That's it. And then let's see. I think that, wait, we may have a little bit. Oh, no, that's it. Okay. All right, carry on. Carol, you have anything to say about the end time events? The stuff?
Yeah, you know, this morning I heard something really bizarre on the news, on the radio news. I haven't seen it on TV, but the news, and it was local news, not national news, brought out the idea that the guillotine is being considered as a means to do the execution now, you know, for the people that are, that are on death row. There's talk about using the guillotine to execute them because it's supposedly a more humane, swift death. And it floored me when I heard that, because that is what is going to be used during the tribulation, the beheadings. And for them just to bring it up on the news, that there is talk of considering bringing about the guillotines. Wow, I know that there's been talk on the internet about that, you know, through the alternative news reports, but this was local radio and they repeated it three times in the morning. But that was definitely another piece of end times news.
Care, we got guillotines. They have over 100,000 guillotines already. Obama signed an executive order putting guillotines at all the FEMA camps, which are like buildings that they've converted from old schools and stuff, in case there's martial law. They already have these guillotines at all these buildings around the country. So
I have heard that, but you don't really hear that on national news. You have
no.
To dig deep. Well, this was on our local news that came out, which, you know, it wasn't reported.
Wow.
It was not reported on the it was not reported on the national news, and it wasn't even on the local TV news. It was just on the radio news, which is the local. It wasn't alternative radio news, and I thought, is that for me just to hear that as just another piece of confirmation news that we're about to leave? See, in fact, that may have been my first confirmation news that we're about to leave. Because first, you know, I heard that and I thought, wow, you know, that's on the news. I had known about the guillotines in the FEMA camps, but it's not widely, you know, known. Most people don't talk about it. You know, they're not going to talk about that. you ask your neighbors, you know, hey, have you heard that they're bringing in the guillotines? And they'll look at you, and they're going to say, no, and you don't know what you're talking about. They'll respond this way. Okay, so I heard that on the radio. The next piece of confirmation news was before while Michelle was having her awesome, glorious experience of the Lord touching her, physically touching her, okay, I come across the meaning of 42. And then Roman confirms it, that it has to do with the start of the three and a half year trip. And I'm like, whoa. And then, you know, so now we couple everything together, we combine everything together with the news, and it's just more solid confirmation that we're about to be translated to the glory and praise of God. And I think that's great news. that's really, really great news for us. And you know, I mean, Kishan last night and Bill, man, they were just on fire with, end time revelation and explanation of how everything is going to fall into place during the trip after we're here. They just had so much to share, and I was jumping up and down for joy, because it all just proves we're leaving, guys. Don't get worn out. You know, I know every passing day, we're like, we're still here, Lord. Why are we still here? But while we're still here, we stay in His presence. That's why the Lord touched Michelle like He did, because He touched her physically, and she was enveloped in His presence. And it's a reminder, just stay, He's telling us through her, stay in My presence. Look at me. Walk with me. Hold My hand. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to forsake you or leave you. We are leaving. Just stay focused on Me. Look at Me. As long as we're doing this, we're not going to feel worn out and tired and gloom and doom, because we're in His presence. I mean, Michelle can verify and confirm that, wow, what she felt it revived her. It revived her love for the Lord. I mean, she wasn't focused at that moment. She wasn't looking for the rapture. She was in His presence. She was letting Him touch her, and she was mesmerized by Him. And this is how we should be right now. We should all be mesmerized by the Lord and His presence. You know, and just, we don't feel like we are. We just say, by faith, Lord, I am immersed in Your presence. You know, just anoint me with the oil of joy and peace and love, and touch me like You touched Michelle. You know, so that once we're in His presence like that, we're out. We're all out.
Yeah.
You know, we're not.
This is special. That's wonderful what you're saying, Carol. I totally agree. Michelle, when you felt the Lord touching you, did you feel that was just such a sweet, loving thing to kind of, did it touch your heart that the Lord did that?
It did, yeah. It was like, and it was a gentle touch too, like when He was playing with my feet. It was very gentle and loving, and then when I held His hand, that was also very gentle and loving. I just felt His love and His presence. I wasn't even, like what Carol said, I was not even focused on the rapture at that point. I was just enjoying His presence.
Can we pray for Raina? She's having some chest pain or pains in her chest and her side before she leaves chat. Can we just pray for her real fast?
Yeah, absolutely. Connie, you want to lead the prayer?
All right. We just lift up our sister Raina to you. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to lay your hands upon Raina, and that, thank you for removing all pain. You know what's happening with her. We thank you, Lord Jesus, removing everything that's going on with her body and laying your hands on her, and from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. We thank you that Raina is healed and has peace within her heart, mind, body, and soul. And we thank you by your stripes, Lord Jesus, Raina is healed. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. And when two or more are gathered in your name in Jesus Christ, it is so. So thank you, Jesus, that you have removed all pain from Raina's body. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, you just push and expel all the pain that is in her body, and you replace it with peace and joy and calmness and newness of life in every cell, every joint, every organ, every muscle of her body as you give her rest in you. The power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Michelle, you want to pray?
Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your healing on Raina at this point. I believe that you are healing her right now. And thank you, Lord, for loving Raina and for healing her and bringing new energy and life back to her body, Lord. We praise you for your wonderful healing and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for Raina, Lord. And, Lord, we know that these symptoms that Raina is having, that they are lies from the enemy. We know that we are children of God. Children of God cannot be sick. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Raina has the Holy Spirit in her. She's got the blood of Jesus. Jesus is divine. She's the branch. So we're an offflow of Jesus. She can't be sick. So we thank you, Lord, for you, Jesus, being in her. And these are lying symptoms. So in Jesus' name, we cast those symptoms out. Satan, you cannot be in her. You have no permission. Anything that's operating here is illegal. We cast it out in Jesus' name, and we know that Luke 9:1 says we have all authority and power to drive out all demons and cure all diseases. So it will leave, and she will feel better. She will go back to normal and feel normal again. We ask, take in the spirit of anxiety, we cast you out in Jesus' name. The spirit of any doubt, anxiety, or stress, or anything that's not of God, we cast out in Jesus' name. We release peace, joy, and happiness in Raina, Lord. Return her back to her normal state. And in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Judy, were you going to say something? Judy there, or who was talking? I don't know. Michelle, thanks for sharing that. That was super cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
super,
awesome,
Michelle.
That's so cool.
I wanted to do a little talk on something. If everyone's all right with that, is that okay? Everyone okay? I want to do a little bit discussion on... Okay. The discussion today, the little teaching I'm going to do, is called Who We Are in Christ. Now, one thing I want to tell you is who we are in Christ. Okay, so if the Rockefeller family and you were part of the Rockefeller family, and you're worth, you know, just imagine that the Rockefeller family has called you on the phone and they said, we did some research and we found out that you are one of a long-distance relatives, you know, you didn't realize it, we didn't realize it, but we looked up our genealogy, we found out that you're part of the Rockefeller family. So we'll be sending over you some forms about all the wealth that you're going to be worth. Well, you get the stuff in the mail, and it says you're worth, the family's worth billions of dollars, multi-billions of dollars, and you're now worth a large portion of that money, millions and millions. In fact, you have, and then they show you, then they send you all their attorneys' list, and they send you all the people. You have tremendous power now. In fact, you have so much power, so much money. The Rockefeller family has unlimited power in this country, which is the most powerful country in the world. So now you've got power all over the world. Now you have this power, you know. How would that make you feel? One day you're just doing your thing, and the next thing you know, you're one of the most powerful people in the world. You can do anything you want. I've seen lots of specials on these children that come from wealthy family, different families, and they're literally, by the time they turn 18, they get an attorney call, attorney sits down with him and says, you're worth, your personal net worth is about $100 million, and you can do whatever you want. And so what they do is they spend their life just doing their hobbies and, you know, fun stuff they like. But all of us are children of God, and we have the ultimate power in the world, because our Father has the power over the whole universe. And God the Father has given us power on earth. God is not on earth. Jesus is not coming back yet. In the rapture, he's going to appear in the clouds. He's not stepping foot on the earth. He will be in the clouds. We will go up to him, because it's not his time to come down yet. Only in the second coming will he touch the earth. The Mount of Olives is with us. So in the meantime, he's given all power and all authority to us. And that's what Luke 9:1 says, of giving you all authority and all power. It says in a couple other verses. He left us with two things, the Bible, which is his word, his last, if you, like, just like the rock star down to give you last will and testament, and he left us with his name. So we've got his word, which is a document signed with agreements. Okay, this, I'll give you this and this and this and that. And then he left us with his name, which has all the power over the entire universe. So each of us, each of you out there in the chat room, each of you out there listening, I want you to know that you are one of the most powerful people in the world. And just like the Rockefellers, you've now come into this ultimate power and wealth and everything. You have it, but you have to claim it, you have to own it, you have to stand on it. You know, these kids that come into power, they're like, they don't have any power. So they just call the attorney and say, can you do this, can you do that with my money? But give them a few years of spending that kind of money, and they walk into a place and they own it. They don't have to be calling someone. They just, they exert their power. They know the power that they have. We all have that power. So every one of you listening out there, you are one of the most powerful people on earth, because Jesus and Father God is behind you with all authority and all power. So we have to, each of us, including myself, every day we need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. The more you realize how much power you have in Christ, the more power you will have to get rid of demons that are attacking you and the enemy, as well as claiming your promises of wealth and health and everything. It's all a matter of realizing who you are in Christ. If you don't think that you're powerful in Christ, then the enemy, I call him the enemy because I don't like to say his name, I don't give him any power, then the enemy will not have any power over you. The enemy only exerts power over your life when he realizes that you're not walking in your power. So I focus on this every day, who you are in Christ. Well, who the heck are you in Christ? Well, let me tell you, there's a couple things. We are an heir of God, and we're a co-heir of Christ. In other words, we're sitting in heaven. On the right hand is Father God, then Jesus, then us. So right now, each of us are sitting in heaven in our spirit bodies next to Jesus. And we're instead of being an heir to the Rockefeller family, we're an heir of God who created the whole universe, all the planets, everything. We're a co-heir of Jesus Christ, who has all the power. Every tongue, knee, everything will bow under his name. So we're equal in heaven with him. Lord says we're a co-heir and an heir. That's how much he loves his children. He's given us that power on earth over our lives. So you want to use that power. And you want to know who you are in Christ. Because if you don't know you're Rockefeller, you're not going to be able to carry your power. Well, if you don't know if you're, you know, a co-heir of Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to walk your power. You know, I'm going to cover a couple things that we are. We are God's possession. We're God's child. We're God's workmanship. We're God's friend. We're God's temple. We're God's vessel. We're a co-laborer with God. We're God's witness. We're God's soldier. We're God's ambassador. We represent him wherever we go. We're God's building. We're the church. Don't be confused. There ain't no church in building. The church is the people. Okay, we're the church. We're God's instrument. We're God's chosen. We're God's beloved. We're his precious jewel. We're his heritage. We've been redeemed by his blood. We've been set free from sin and condemnation. We've been free from Satan's control. We're chosen before the foundation of the world. We are predestined to be like Jesus. We've been forgiven of all of our sins. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been given a sound mind. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been adopted into God's family. We've been justified freely by his grace. We've been given all the things pertaining to life. We've been given great and precious promises. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation. We have authority over the power of the enemy. We've given access to God directly. We've been given wisdom. We are complete in Him. We are free forever from sin's power. We are sanctified. We are fit for the Master's use. We are loved eternally. We are eternally kept in the palm of His hand. We're kept from falling. We're kept by the power of God. We're not condemned. We're one with our Lord. We're on the way to heaven. We're quickened by His mighty power. We're seated in the heavenly places. We're the head and not the tail. We are the light and not the darkness. We are the candle in the dark place. We are a city set on a hill. We are the salt of the earth. We are a sheep. We are a citizen of heaven. We are hidden with Christ in God. We are protected from the evil one. We are secure in Christ. We are set on a rock. We are more than a conqueror. We are born again. We are a victor. We are healed by His stripes, Jesus' stripes. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. We are sheltered under His wings. We are hidden in the secret place of the Almighty. We are walking in divine health. We are walking in divine wealth. We are His anointed. We have access to the Father. We have a home in heaven waiting for us. We have all the things in Christ. We have a living hope. We have an anchor to our soul. We have a hope that is sure and steadfast. We have authority to tread on the serpent, which is the enemy. We have power to witness. We have the tongue of the learned. We have the mind of Christ. We have the boldness and access. We have peace with God. We can do all things through Christ. We can find mercy and grace for our help. We come boldly to the throne. We come quenching the flaming arrows. We come to tread on the serpent. We can proclaim freedom to captives. We can pray always and everywhere. We can rout 1,000. We can defeat an enemy and an army. We will tread Satan under our feet. He's under our feet. We cannot be separated from God's love. We cannot perish or be lost. We cannot be moved. We cannot be changed or accused. We cannot be condemned. We are the voice of God. We take up our cross daily for Jesus. We speak things into existence. We are empowered to walk in the supernatural. We are love. We are the church. We are our Lord's children. So just remember that. If you don't feel worthy, then you're basically saying that Jesus didn't do enough for you. And the enemy is saying, yep, you know what, you're not worthy. Don't tell yourself you're not worthy. The Bible says we are righteous, holy and pure in God's eyes. Yes, He sees us. He's washed our sin already. We're holy and pure. Stand boldly. Claim your ground against the enemy and any problems in your life. And know that you are child of God, the Most High. You're more powerful than any wealthy family. You're an heir to a vast fortune. Oh, man, the fortune, the wealth. It's unbelievable, the wealth that each of us we have access to when we'll be in heaven soon. We have access to here on earth as long as we stand and claim what's ours. And God has given you everything. He's given you wealth and health and everything. He gives us all of it. The difference is the enemy tries to hold it back. We have to get rid of the enemy, and then we get what's ours. So that's what's holding us back. So the enemy, Satan, has been defeated. He's been defeated. He's under our feet. So you're an heir. You're a powerful child of God. Claim who you are. Be proud of who you are. Be an ambassador. You know, put your little button on. Says Jesus Christ, you know, servant of the Most High. And walk your ground. Talk your ground. Talk your faith. Claim what you want in your life. Don't claim what you don't want. Walk around saying who you are and what you want. You know.
Amen.
There yeah. You go. There's the talk. Did you like that,
it's
Michelle?
Your present message.
Carol?
I did. That was good.
That was excellent. Excellent.
It's 444.
What, Tana?
I was going to say it's 444 in California.
Oh, cool. Yeah. There you go.
Chris Potter wanted to know if you could post a link to what you were talking about, but do you have a link of what you were saying? Or,
a link? What are you talking about?
It was just from, you're just talking off the cuff, right? It's not any...
No, just talking out of my head.
Wow.
All my teachings that I teach on here are not from anything. They're just from me, from the Lord, that I'm a vast reason, you know, I'm always getting things from the Lord. I get visions and always getting all this stuff. And then I just, you know, I'm a teacher. I have the gift of teaching. So, and I have the gift of knowledge. So I get lots of stuff. Tana knows. And then I just ask the Lord every day, well, what do you want me to teach on today? And He'll show me, okay, Keith, you already know about this stuff, so talk on that. So every day I pick and I usually, there's a lot of stuff I love talking about, you know, because I just know a lot of things, you know, with knowledge and stuff. So today I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to talk about, you know. So, yeah, this is just from just from me teaching what I know, what I like, what I love. You know, we all have our gifts, and I'm just using my gifts, you know.
I was going to say, there was a word in chat before you started this teaching from Roman, had gotten from the Lord. Roman got that God said, there will be a day where you will be taken off the earth, and that day has come. And then he thought Roman thought he heard in his head the Lord say, May.
Oh, praise God. Oh, thank you, Roman, for sharing that. Oh, that's so exciting. I've been hearing May a lot, too, not from God, but I've been reading it and stuff. Like, some videos are saying May now. Praise God for that. Thank you, Roman, for sharing that. Right on. Michelle, would you do you like that, who you are in Christ? What do you have to say something about that? Tell us what you think.
Yeah, that is good. I know the part where you said something about if we inherited all this wealth. Well, I was thinking, well, I'm so rapture-centric, it really wouldn't matter anyway. But, yeah, definitely knowing who we are in Christ. And that's
no.
The thing. The wealth really wouldn't matter right now because we're about to go to heaven.
But it will matter to us in heaven, you know, because if we were related to Rockefeller, it wouldn't matter because we would die with it. But because we're related to Jesus, you know, it will matter, right? Because we're going to have it for eternity. So we do want to collect all our little nuggets of wealth and building our treasures in heaven. You know, when we do things on earth, we build the treasures in heaven. Most people do things on earth, they build their treasures on earth. Then that's it. We do things on earth, we're lucky. We get the treasures in heaven for eternity, you know? So, yeah. So, Michelle, you just get your calculator out, honey, every night. Start adding up. Lord, I want this and that, and this is mine. That's mine. Can have it all. Yeah, this is, I want a diamond ring, and I want this many carats, and just keep going on all the list.
Well,
way when you stand before Jesus, I got my list. He'd be like, Keith, your mansion is 73 floors. I'm like, wait, whoa, I got 75 floors. Let's go down the list, and you'll get that paper out in the calculator and start, Lord, I think you made a mistake here, because this is my mansion. This is what I got. I want an Italian villa, and I make sure our numbers check, make sure they're correct.
Yep, and let me add to that, okay? let me build up on that. Oh, and let me just speak to Roman for a moment. Roman, I'm sorry. I'm looking at your PM, and I'm copying the scriptures over to another area of my mm-hmm. laptop, so that's why I haven't replied to you. But thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping those scriptures that you're giving mm-hmm. me. Okay, now back to what you were saying, Keith. All right, there's a lot of there's two things I want to build up on to what you were saying. First and foremost, we do need to speak who we are in Christ, all right?
Yeah.
We may not feel like we are heirs of the Most High God.
Exactly.
We may not feel like we are co-heirs with Christ. We may not feel like we are kings
True.
And priests
That's
to the Most High God, but we are. And
yeah.
so one way to get us to build up our confidence in Christ is by speaking it, okay? No matter how downtrodden you might feel, you speak, Lord, I thank you that you have made me a king and priest unto the Most High God. I am an heir, a child of the Most High God. I am an heir of God. I am a co-heir with Christ. I rule and reign with Christ. Now, the more we speak it, and we speak, believe me, I speak everything. I speak the Word of God constantly, not just the financial affirmations or the physical affirmations, but I had to learn to speak the Word of God into me first. For me, I had to speak the Word of God into me first, and then the affirmations of, you know, of financial blessings, physical blessings, every other kind of blessing, because I didn't want to be filled with the worldly blessings and not really have that intimate relationship and knowledge of God. So for me, first and foremost, and this is through years of experience, okay? So for me, I had to say every day for the longest time, guys, for the longest time, I had to say every hour, Lord, I am washed and cleansed by your precious blood. Because I had so much dirt on me. I had so many blemishes on me that I don't even want to talk about and go into. But after I repented and came back to the Lord, you know, 1,000%, I would the guilt, you know, the devil still kept coming to me with guilt, making me feel guilty because he's the accuser of our brethren. He accuses us before our God day and night. And the Lord tells us and told me, well, how are you going to overcome him? How are you going to overcome you? I've already forgiven you. I've already forgotten about your sins. But the devil keeps reminding you. He's not reminding me. I don't care. You know, he comes to me and I blow him off. But he keeps coming to you and reminding you of your sin. So how are you going to overcome him? Oh, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Ah, there you go. Well, then keep speaking it. So I had to speak the word of God. Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, I am washed and cleansed, and you have no power and no authority over me anymore. And you can't make me feel guilty because the Lord took away my guilt. All right? And I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And listen to me praise Jesus right now in your face, Satan. I'm praising and worshiping our Lord Jesus right now in your face until finally left me alone. You know, it took a while, but he did. He left me alone. So I rarely get, attacked. When I get attacked, it's like, whoa, for me, it's not normal anymore. It doesn't mean that my life is great and that, you know, everything is peachy and rosy, but I know how to walk in spirit. I know how to walk in love. I know how to walk in the power of the Word of God. I just do because I've been practicing. So with that, we start off, and my experience has been, okay, you know, I've been declaring who I am in Christ for years. Just everything that Keith shared, I was like, amen, all right, amen, because it registered with me because this is what I've been doing. All right, so while we are still here, okay, I don't know, but a lot of you guys are under 40, but there's some of us that are, we're approaching 60. Some of us have surpassed 60. And you know what? My mind is renewed in Christ Jesus, and I feel like I'm 20 years old, but this body, it doesn't want to feel like it's 20 years old anymore. So while I'm here, I'm going to, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to feel and walk and talk and act like I'm 20. All right? And when people, it's funny, when people see me and the age number comes up, and I tell them, you know, I'm 59, going on 60. They're like, you what? And the reaction is, oh, it's a compliment. It's a compliment to me because they don't see me. I guess I don't look it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. My point is, the more we speak the word of God, he's renewing our mind in Christ Jesus, and he's also renewing our bodies. He really is renewing our bodies. So that's one of the things. The other aspect. Now, you're right. You're right, Tana or Michelle, who said, you know, hey, we really don't need, you know, the financial, quote, the financial blessings. But let me ask you this. I'm asking everybody, and this is just a rhetorical question. I say it to myself all the time. What king is poor? What king is poor? Even a king of the poorest nation is wealthy. You know, he's a king. His country respects him. They may not be as wealthy as the president of the United States or our country, but it doesn't matter. He's a king. He's wealthy. Queen, she's wealthy. So we do. So we speak it. We are kings. And so everything belongs to us. Now, the other aspect to that is the one thing that I've, while we're still here, you know, I've been reminding the Lord. I've been petitioning him. I said, hey, while I'm here, I don't want to be in debt. Okay? Now, why am I in debt? Because Satan, the thief, stole a lot from me. He stole my health, my family, my friends, my financial blessings. And according to God's word, he has to restore everything he's stolen from us. I don't know if it's seven times or a hundredfold.
Amen.
Pardon? A hundredfold? Whatever it is, you know, I'll stick to a hundredfold. Why sevenfold? Let's go with gusto. A hundredfold.
Amen.
Okay? He has to. And you know what? The principle of that biblical truth is applied in our courts today. When a person goes before the judge because he has stolen property or money or whatever from somebody, yeah, they may get sentenced, but they're also told, you have to pay everything back that you stole with restitution. With restitution. So not only do they have to return what they stole, but then they have to pay interest for stealing what they did. Well, then the devil has stolen everything from us. Don't cut yourself short. He stole your joy. He stole your health. He stole your financial blessings. He stole your mind. Yeah, he stole, in many families are broken. He stole your families. He has stolen. He's a thief. And his goal is to destroy us. Because he doesn't want his time to be cut short any more than it is. So while we are here, we welcome and receive all of God's blessings spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And we declare it with a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, giving the Lord praise and honor and glory for blessing us with everything that he's blessed us with, and giving him praise and glory that Satan is restoring everything back to us a hundredfold with restitution. So just be encouraged. Don't think for one moment. Don't think for one moment that those blessings are more important to me than the translation, than the rapture. Oh no, they're not. But while I'm here, yeah, I want all my blessings. And if I get the blessings at the same time that we're translated, hallelujah. You know, I don't want the Lord to delay his translation for us so that I can pay my bills. No, you know, that's not important to me. But while I'm here, I'm here. Hey, if somebody came to my door, as I said, somebody came to my door right now and said, Carol Garza, God told me to give you $42,000 in cash right now, tax-free. I don't know why, but here you go. And off he goes. You don't think I would take it and say, oh, well, no, that's okay. We're getting, I'm being translated any second now, so never mind. I did ask the Lord that, but that's okay. I don't need it. Oh, I would take it right now. And if at that moment that it's placed in my hands, we're translated,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Great.
That was excellent
job, Carol. That's great. I know all about that, speaking it as well. And I've done a lot of, you and I had the same kind of revelations about that. Thank you for saying that. That was so awesome to build on who we are in Christ, because that's part two that everybody needed to hear. Thank you so much, Carol. That was just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. I hope everybody out there is paying attention to all that. Everything that Carol said and everything I said, you know, who you are in Christ, and then you got to speak it. If you don't speak it, you don't get it. And I just love that. Thank you, Carol. That was just right on, right on.
Wow. Yeah, I was talking, I wasn't looking at the chat room, because I can't look at chat room and talk.
Were they saying anything in there? What were they saying in chat about it?
Let's see. They're saying, Elena says, speak it forth, Carol. Hallelujah. All right. And then Roman says, he's talking to Elena. Never mind. I thought they were talking about wanting chocolate right now, but he's calling Elena his chocolate troubles or something.
Hey, start talking about who we are in Christ. We're going to have to go in there and kick these people out and change their terms in there. Roman, you start talking about who we are in Christ in that chat room. Good job, though, Carol. That was awesome.
That?
Michelle, what do you have to say? Michelle, you have anything to say about that?
No, I completely agree with both what you and Carol said. Definitely to know who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
And like Carol was saying, it's so hard. We don't realize. If you recorded your words all day long that you said, each one of us out there, oh, man. I know, because I watch my words these days, and I catch myself, so then I reverse it. If you find yourself saying things about you, bad things, you know, people curse themselves and they wonder why their life's a mess. If you find yourself saying bad stuff, what you do is you just simply say, because I always catch myself because I've been watching my words for a long time now, I'll be like, okay, in Jesus' name, I break that curse. So you just break it. You have to use Jesus' name. You break that curse. I say, Lord, I always say, Lord, forgive me for my words, you know. But, yeah, like Carol said, you say what you want. But if you're saying things like, oh, man, things are so bad this month, you just stop saying it. You say, okay, in Jesus' name, break that curse, and you just rephrase it. Things are really good this month, and they're going to go even better. Things are going to go really good this month, you know.
Yeah, we have to. And I'm telling you, I have years and years of experience, because in 2001, I was minding my own business. I was healthy. I had a great paying job, my own place. I had a nice condo. You know, life was good. And I would take my dog, my dog walking around the lake. I lived by a lake, and I would take her every day. I would take her, and the lake. I lived by the woods, and there was a trail path. And it was just so beautiful. There were the birds and the squirrels, and it was just awesome, okay? This was in Maryland. And one morning, I woke up, and I'm like, what's wrong with my feet? Wow, they hurt when I walk. And I got to work, and I said, hey, I don't know why my feet really hurt. So I was... somebody said, hey, why don't you get some ice from the fridge? and put it in a plastic bag and just lay, you know, put your feet on them. I said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. So I did, but it didn't help. And the next day, I woke up and I could not move. My whole body could not move. And I'm like, what just happened here? I couldn't roll over to the side. And that was the beginning of the rheumatoid arthritis. And then from that point on, I just went, my life just went, you know, physically, it went downhill. Now, I will also tell you that during that time frame, I was an emotional basket case because I wasn't walking right with the Lord. And I'm not going to go into it, but it took me 4 years, from 2001 to 2004, for me to finally just tell the Lord, okay, I give up. I give up. You know, there was one point, one day, and I think this was 2003, where, you know, I'm struggling to go up. I could barely walk, you guys. You don't know how bad it was. And excruciating pain. I felt like I had electricity and fire going through my body 24/7, from my neck all the way down to my feet. It was just horrible, horrible. And for 4 months, the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So I remember telling the Lord as I'm trying to, I'm holding on for dear life going up the stairs. And I just said, am I really that bad of a person that I deserve this? And I kid you not, in my spirit, I saw him standing right in front of me with his arms crossed, looking right at me. He was looking, you know, he was tall. And he was looking at me without saying a word. But you know what? I was in his presence because he appeared to me. He was not happy with me, but he was there. He was there. He had his arms crossed. And I just ignored him because I was like Joseph. I was like Jacob. I was wrestling with him. I was wrestling. It's my way, not your way, my way. And he said, oh, no, it ain't. It's my way or the highway. And but it took me a long time. I'm stubborn. And so finally I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it, and I finally opened up to a coworker, and I told her, you know, how I was bitter towards the Lord because, you know, this and that and the other. And then she explained to me so many deep spiritual things that I had never heard of, the transfer of spirits and soul ties and, all these different titles the devil has, and the different ways he manipulates and controls us, and how he uses people to pull us away from God. And I had never heard. I was a believer, and I knew the Lord, but I had rebelled. I had rebelled against him. And so when all of this, you know, started coming to me, I started getting understanding. At that point, I said to the Lord, wow, I am so sorry for opening those windows and letting those demons come in and manipulate me and control me and pull me away from you. And I repent, Lord. And I ask you to wash me and cleanse me in your precious blood. And at that moment, you know, I'm telling you, the yoke, the heaviness lifted. And, and I started getting, he started healing me. And I started walking with the Lord again. Now, every day, though, I'm telling you, the devil was violent. He was really angry. How dare you give yourself back to Jesus? And so every day, you know, as soon as those thoughts of guilt would hit me, I had to say, Lord Jesus, I am washed and cleansed by your precious blood. And I thank you for washing and cleansing me. And you've forgiven me. And, you know, you just helped me to fight the devil, the devil's thoughts of guilt over me. And then within a month, I really started getting strong again in the Lord. And at that point, I asked him, this was in 2004, and I said to him at work, I said to him, okay, Lord Jesus, for 25 years, I hindered you from working your life and your word and your power, your strength, everything into me. Now, help me to be the person I'm supposed to be in Christ today, had I not ever hindered your work in me. Bring me up to speed and help me be the person I should be in Christ today, had I never hindered you. And I'm telling you, miracles really do happen. They really happen. And that's why the reason you hear me strong and vibrant and is because I asked him that in 2004. I asked him that. Bring me up to speed. Help me to be the person I should be right now had I not hindered you for 25 years. And he gave me, just a powerful anointing to read and study his word and to speak his word and to walk in his word. And everywhere I went, I would just, you know, started blessing people and telling them about, you know, his goodness, his love, and I was leading people to the Lord again. And so, you know, I know the power of words. And so we meet. I'm just letting everybody know. We have to speak the word of God to one another, to ourselves, and to the world. And not in a religious way, not just quoting the scriptures, but when we speak the word, it's like when you talk to your beloved, you talk to your beloved and you tell them, you tell your friends, wow, you know what, I'm so in love, with my spouse, you know, my beloved. He's so great. He's just so great. He's wonderful. Oh, you should see how he treats me. Oh, he's just so wonderful. Well, if we talk to people about, you know, I love my pets and they're just so cute and my spouse is just so wonderful and look, oh, he gave me this and he gave me that. You know, that's how we should be about the Lord when we talk to people. We should let them know. You know, they should feel He is real, that he's not a religious idol, but he's a real person, and not just a person, but our beloved, who's coming to take us away. Ha-ha, hee-hee, oh. Anyway, thanks, guys, for hearing me through.
Oh, good. Michelle, you got anything to say or anybody else online from the air?
That was really good, yeah.
What about you, Michelle? Are you watch your words or you feel like you're working on that or you have such a sweet spirit about you. I always see that with you. You have the sweetest spirit about you. Tell us about how you hear from the Lord. Do you hear audibly or are you a feeler or a thinker? I always get that you're a feeler, but you can tell us more about that. Tell us about your gifting.
Okay. Well, basically, I don't hear audibly, but I hear it in my head. If I ask the Lord a question, I'll ask it in my head, and then I'll receive the response in my head.
Yeah, that's the gift of knowledge. You've got the gift of knowledge, Michelle. So you can also activate. Mm-hmm. You can activate that gift by saying, God, give me a word of knowledge, which you're already doing. You're asking, huh? But you say, give me a word of knowledge on this question or this topic or this person, and you're already getting your answer, and you know how to act. You're using your gift
The gift of knowledge would be asking for knowledge and getting information. And now the gift of wisdom would be how it works. Like, you can say, Lord, you know, tell me some information about my job. You know, and he might say, well, your company collects this kind of information, and they operate this way, and this is what they do. Well, Lord, give me some wisdom on that. Well, he might be like, okay, well, then the secret to be successful in your job is to do this, this, and that. See what I'm saying? So wisdom would be like the secrets, and knowledge would just be the data, the information. So you've got the information already, Michelle, so you can also ask for wisdom on things to learn the secrets of how things operate and stuff, you know? And do you ever hear, tell us about any other things with your gifts. Do you get visions? Because the Lord tells me that you should be getting visions as well. If you're operating, I can see that you should be getting them. I don't know if you're doing it, though.
No, I've never gotten a vision before.
Yeah, ask God for visions, because I can. When I look into your spirit, I can see you're gifted for visions. Dreams are when you're asleep. Visions are when you're awake. But people that have dreams don't usually have visions. They're very separate things. Anyone can have a dream, but some people get visions. So, yeah, God tells me that you can get visions as well. So ask him for visions on things. And you'll, since you're already clearly getting knowledge, the visions will be easy. If you can get visions and knowledge, Michelle, then you can get like a movie playing. He'll show you a picture of something, and sometimes scenes moving, and then all of a sudden you're hearing too. So it's like multi-sensory and stuff, you know. What about other, and so you feel, and then do you ever, you felt something from the Lord too the other night, so that was really good. And then do you get many dreams, Michelle, from God?
I don't get too many dreams, just every once in a while.
Okay. What about when you, are you looking at the signs in your life when you go about your daily life? Do you see things happening that you know are lined up from the Lord?
Yeah, sometimes. I know I need to open up my spiritual eyes to make sure I don't miss those signs. But, yeah, I see those sometimes.
You're looking, always looking if the doors are opening or closing or how things are going on in your life, operating, people you're running into, songs you're hearing on the radio. These are all ways God speaks to us, all these kinds of things. So pay attention to that. Yeah, you're definitely gifted, Michelle. For you, it's just a matter of, you know, requesting God to give you that information, you know, and using it. Tana, are you still on, or did you go to work? Tana, go to work?
No, she's there.
I'm here. But I'm going to work very soon, but I'm here still.
Okay.
I think Mama put my
phone. Go ahead and comment. We want to hear from you, girl. Talk to us.
I think what everyone's saying is great. I don't have anything else to say, but Mama Pat's here. Hi, Mama Pat.
Hi, guys. I came on around 7:34.
Okay.
No, I had a lot of running around to do.
Did you hear anything, Pat? Did you hear
her? Yes, it was wonderful. Everyone was wonderful. And I'm thinking, God always reminds me that, you know, people listening in out there, it's good that they hear what everybody is saying, because you're feeding souls out there who are searching. So this is, you know, like, it's great. It's good. We're just, you know, we're uplifting each other, and we're also, you know, witnessing to those out there. You know, Jesus is the answer only. You only need him.
Did you
so pay attention to everybody?
So you heard who we are in Christ. Did you hear that part?
Oh yes. I came on at 7:34. So whatever was going on from 7:34, I heard everything. Yeah, I love to listen.
Well,
I mean, I don't always have to yell.
Honey, it's only 5:18 here, so we don't know what you got some weird time going on.
8:19 here. We have 20.
Okay.
Well, we have 10 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you, Pat, talk about, tell us what you think about who we are in Christ, what I talked about, and what Carol talked about. All the listeners are really intrigued with this really wonderful teaching. So tell us what you think about it.
Jesus has to be the center. I mean, your whole life has got to be him. And he'll show you how to do it once you invite him into your life, that there is no other answer. He's the one. I can't stress that enough. He is the one. You don't need anyone else but, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as our Lord and Savior, and that he's human, you know. Just really invite him in and and don't leave him out of your life. You know, he's so wonderful and so merciful and kind. You know, the trials and tribulations I have, if I didn't have that relationship with him, if I didn't try to make the effort to want to please him and hold back the reins of my nature, it's only because of his grace. It's only because that I love him. It's only because he's in my life that I'll get through whatever's thrown at me peacefully, you know, near peacefully, if I behave myself and try. But he's the center. That's the only reason life makes any sense or you'll have any peace is to have Christ in your life. You know, outside of him, there's nothing, you know, and you're going to be miserable. You're not going to have answers. You're going to go around in circles. You're going to be in a rut, but you can always say, Jesus, pull me out of the muck and mire. Take my hand and pull me out. And he will. He will. No matter what state you're in, you just cry out to him. He's going to rescue you because he's the Savior. He wants you with him. He wants you now, and he wants you in eternity. And so don't
tell
be afraid
us,
to.
Yeah, tell us about, you and I were talking about some good stuff with our emails about God knows. He knows your situation. Talk to us about that.
That is a consolation. When I go through so many things on and off here, and I just look at him, and I say, you know, Jesus, I'm numb. I'm just numb. I can't even pray to you. I'm so numb because I'm hurting so much sometimes, you know. The people you love can hurt you so badly. I don't want to cry. Okay. But what a beautiful thing that he's looking at me. I've never seen it, but in my spirit, you can see visions within your spirit and heart, okay? Mm-hmm. He gives you that grace of the Holy Spirit. And I can see him, and he can say, I know what you're going through. I know how you feel. And, you know, that's all I needed to know, that he has empathy and sympathy toward me, that he knows what it's like, what I'm going through. And sometimes he'll just shake his head, and he says, boy, you get through this. He says, not too many people could put up with what you put up with and still remain sane. He says, you have a lot. But he's, you know, like the Bible says, I love that verse. Suffering causes endurance. Endurance is character, and character is hope. You know, so that's what I always remember that. So no matter what the trials I go through, I'm learning a little bit more how to be patient or how to deal with it, how he deals with everything. And that is such a consolation to know that I can go to him and say, you know, I'm really having a bad day. And he's there listening to me, and he's going to get me through. He's cheering me on, you know. And you put on Ephesians, you put on the armor. Oh, please, don't forget to do that. You rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. Don't forget to use the name of Jesus. Oh, boy, you don't want to do that. One man did that, and the enemy made mincemeat out of him. You know, he didn't use the name of Jesus, so can't do that. So, but, you know, my daughter came home. I mean, I picked up my daughter, and we took the dog to the park. This park is so beautiful, the lake. And I sat there, and it was like a gift. The sky was beautiful, a gentle breeze. It's like he just took me there to calm me down and just give me peace. So he will do this. When he sees us suffering, and not necessarily anything we're kind of doing ourselves, but things coming at us, okay, he will just, once you got to turn to him, though. You got to have a talk with him. You have to invite him into that situation. Don't leave him on the outskirts. And when you say, Jesus, I'm numb. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm hurting so bad. Please help me. He's there, guys. He's there. He's there. And he listened, and like he took me to the park, and she took the dog, and I had such peace. And don't you find sometimes that you just get these gusts of little peace in your soul? You don't even know where they're coming from. But that's the Holy Spirit just consoling you, because he knows it's tough. I often think, too, what did Jesus suffer for those 33 years on earth? Look at all the suffering he went through, the people laughing at him, the people, the people, even his mother, I mean, the humiliation she went through bearing him and watching him suffer for those 33 years. You know, and the ridicule that he received and people wanting to stone him. And I mean, everywhere he went, I mean, how often did he meet with love or thanksgiving or anything? How many even believed? Even his own apostles, you know, must have scratched their heads sometimes. But, I mean, they believed, you know, God was so wonderful to everybody. But I think of that, too, as the God-man. He came down from earth to suffer, and not just on the cross, but all those 33 years, every day had its suffering for him, you know. And so I think of that, too. But, yes, When you turn to him and you say, Jesus, you know, this is getting really heavy, like give me some inspiration or just hold me in your arms right now. I need you to hold me and help me get through this the way you want me to get through it. That's so important for him to hear. Teach me, what lesson am I learning from this Holy Spirit? How better can I become, you know, a lover of Christ? How better can I serve? You know, how better can I bring your kingdom on earth? That's what he's looking at. He's not looking at the acts. He's looking at your intention of what you mean when you think, say, or do anything. Does this honor me? Are you trying to come closer? Are you trying to overcome with my grace and my Holy Spirit? Are you trying to learn how I would deal with this? When you invite him to do that, expect answers. Because he's not just sitting there looking at you. He's interacting with you, and he's holding you. He knows what we go through. He knows. And when he looks at me and says, I know what you're going through, and like, you know, I'm giving you the strength to get through it, I know it's tough, you know, and it isn't like anything that you really deserved or had control of, but it came at you anyway. Yeah. Amen.
Sharing, that was so awesome. That was another awesome nugget. It's like good stuff for everybody to chew on and grow from.
I'm happy
real
to share
stuff.
You know we all are, we all share and we all uplift and encourage, you know. Yeah,
I think a lot of the
people
got to hear good stuff today from Pat, from me, from Carol. God speaking through us to really give us some good stuff to help people, you know.
Well, exactly. Come closer.
These are deep things that a lot of Christians never talk about. You know, these are really good things. Yeah. You know, people in the chat room. Go ahead, Pat.
No, you have to have a relationship. You know, I was thinking today, there's so many people in church. And, you know, they're good people, and they go to church and they worship. But I don't want to say the word dead. They're not dead, but they don't have relationship with him. They don't eat, sleep, and drink him. And that's what's lacking. That's what when I go to church sometimes, I can feel that. I mean, I still love to go to Mass and stuff, and I get there when I can. But I can feel that there's this lack of, you don't really know him. You don't really have a relationship. You know, you're a lovely person.